Item number 12, skipping items 10 and 11 for now, which may also be taken up in the next meeting. And this is to consider and take possible action to adopt the 2017 CCSERA budget. Oh, before we do that, I need to mention, again, there's going to be another transfer of chair here. And that's of the chair and the vice chair, and because I have to leave now, Jerry Holcomb will act as pro tem for the remainder of today's meeting. This appointment will expire at the adjournment of today's meeting as well. So now I'll turn this time over to Jerry to conduct as chair, with pro tem chair.
So I take it that we're moving on to the next item in the open, or we're going to do the budget now?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to, item number 12, consider and take possible action to adopt the 2017 CCSERA budget. You're on.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody, and I appreciate the short notice to be ready. You know, that's one of the things about being in accounting. We're mobile, agile, and quickly ready to go. So I have a couple of different versions. This is a summarized version, given that we have transfers of chair. It's with great pleasure to present the 2017 proposed operating budget for CCSERA. As we know, CCSERA became an independent employer January 1, 2015, and this is the second year of its complete transition in the county. There's many ongoing changes. The priority will and always be remain effectively and efficiently administering the plan, safeguarding plan assets, and ensuring that providing good customer service is important. Included in this proposed budget, there are additional estimates for proposed and anticipated staffing of vacancies, some allocation for retiree OPEV health, professional services for audit and legal, some additional costs for insurance to safeguard the assets, and some continuing staff development, training, and education. There was also a few changes in the presentation of the budget. The budget process itself was a greater participation and ownership with department managers. It wasn't just accounting, producing estimates and everything. It was meeting individually with each manager and asking for their forecasts and how those forecasts were calculated. This allowed for a more informed estimates and better data in the creation of a budget, but also an expenditure plan. So when we do our actuals to budget plan estimates, we can see where the increases or decreases are occurring. This also adds for greater transparency and review for senior management and the board. Having said that, let's go over to page 3 of the document. The summary itself, the total proposed budget is $13.4 million. And probably, let's go to page 4 real quick. There's a handy-dandy chart. The chart itself there, the total pie, is the $13.4 million. As you can see, the blue, that is the proposed administrative budget. That's $10 million. The dark circle there, about a quarter of that, that's not administrative. The administrative piece, the blue, is what's subject to the 21 basis points limit of the actual liabilities. As of December 31st, 2015, the actuarial accrued liability was $8.4 billion, which results, when you multiply out the 21 basis points, it results in a limit of $17.7 million. So the $10 million administrative budget is well underneath the cap limit. The non-administrative budget is 3.4 for this year. That's an increase of 1.4 over the 2016. And that's where most of our proposed increases are occurring. And we'll get into the numbers more, but over on page 5 and 6 as we continue on, this is in a very important area. This is our accomplishments and our goals. And again, we took a little bit different format that you may have seen in prior budgets. We summarized our accomplishments and our goals, and we took great effort and to summarize the theme and how this improves and what it means to CSERA as a whole. In the past, you may have seen certain departments had their own goals and their own accomplishments, and it was a different format. But we believe that there's a lot of collaboration, a lot of work, a lot of partnering that occurs within departments. So I think the theme that's very important to tell is how does this help CSERA as a whole? And you can see, you can take a look at each one of those. So that's what page 5 and 6 is about. Numerically, over on page 8. Let's move on down to 8. This is our total budget here, beginning with salaries and benefits and moving on down to operation expenditures. When you look at salaries and benefits as a whole, our proposed budget is 10.4 in the 2017 proposed. In the 2016, last year was 8.1. You can see there's an increase of 2.3 one year over the next. What is this attributed to? Well, it's attributed to the additions of two proposed investment officers. As you've heard before, we are moving on to much more a strategic structure in our investment office, and that involved two investment officers that run about $500,000 a year to have the two. We're also anticipating the hiring of a deputy CEO and a deputy general counsel. There's also some other staff member services, technicians, a couple of accounts. These are vacancies that have been vacant for some time. And that's why you see some of the temporary staff costs. They're going to be decreasing because we're going to be migrating over, filling these positions. And then they're expected to be filled first part of this year. We have a very robust hiring program that helps with our recruitment process. And so we anticipate filling those.
Does this also take into account the anticipation for increase in compensation that we're negotiating right now?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So all of that was a hard look, and I appreciate the efforts from our HR manager who put together some very fine-tuned numbers. We scrubbed those as best we could, and they look pretty solid.
I want to make sure that the board has the opportunity, a few minutes, to ask questions on the budget. So I wanted to jump to page 10, where we see some total dollar amounts, where the proposed 2017 budget is approximately $13.4 million. And then the subsequent pages have the breakdown between the admin and non-admin information. And on page 4, at the end of Henry's letter, you can see that there are two recommendations for the board to consider. Henry can talk about some of the additional data in here, but I want to make sure that we answer any questions from the board.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gail. We want to move along. We want to present as much information, but if questions, feel free to interrupt and raise your hand.
Yeah, we do not have a quorum here.
We'll need to take a break until our fifth board.
Where did he go?
Where did he go?
He stepped out in the hall.
Did the chair give him permission to do that? Did I just doze off?
You're running amok. You better get control.
Can you leave the chair?
Can you keep control of this thing, Gary?
I already lost control.
He probably might have went to the restroom.
In which case, Gary, you may not want to. Okay. Well, then again, you may.
I will pause. Yeah, put the pause button.
Hold that thought.
You lost control.
Did he just walk out?
We can't have any discussion. We have to take a break until we have a quorum.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. There he is. Thank you, Luz. Thank you. Dragging him back.
Did you knock first, Luz, before you went in? That's the only question I have. Okay, I think we're back on the record now. We have a quorum again.
Sorry.
And
so I was mentioning that the at the end of Henry's letter on page 4, there are two recommendations for the board to consider. I wanted to make sure that we had a few minutes for, you know, to answer any board questions. We can continue to go over some of the numbers that Henry has, but I wanted to make sure at this time if there's any questions from the board.
Yeah, I have a lot, several.
Several? Okay, go ahead, Deborah.
How much time we got?
It's up to you.
I think just generally, you know, it needs to be on the record that we're looking at a 20% increase in our spending here. I think that's substantial. So I realize that you've stated that a large portion of this is due to some of the positions we're adding, which we've discussed. One of the things that jumps out at me is the, you know, there's a, this is a $322,000 increase in the OPEB retiree.
What page are you on, please?
I'm on page
Deborah,
eight.
Just for everybody else's benefit.
Page 8.
Page 8.
OPEB retiree health, it's in the second section under salaries and benefits, middle of the page.
Mm-hmm.
So $322,000 increase in that OPEB. And I understand the need for that contribution, and we've been talking about this for a while, but my question is, have we actually got an OPEB actuarial study now that tells us what our unfunded OPEB liability is and how we're going to make that up?
We're going to be coming back to the board in the next couple of few months with that information. I'm going to have Henry elaborate on this because we're talking about budget to budget, the increase, but it's not actually a budget to actual increase year
that
over year.
That was one of my questions as well. We can go a little higher level to, do we know where we are going to fall on the 2016 budget? Are we in line with this, under or over?
We're under budget for the
right,
year.
Right, we're under budget, but that was an exact look. The reason why the increase is there, as Gail pointed out, is that it wasn't included
in
the budget before. The last meeting, or maybe the meeting before last, we did an actual to budget 2016 comparison,
mm-hmm.
and this revealed itself that some items were not included in the estimate, so that's where the participation of the managers, discussion with our HR team, a lot of it is going to be with IT and member services. So that's why these 2017 numbers are more of a expenditure plan, mm-hmm. and we were under in that calculation, but I have to put it in there because I can't put a
I'm happy to see it there.
And just so you know, the 163 is the pay-as-you-go amount, so that's actually what we'd budgeted to actually pay out in those monthly premiums on retiree health.
Okay.
And then there's an additional bookkeeping entry that we would do on top of that to reflect the liability that we have on OPEB.
On the ARC.
Once we have, yeah. So once we have the report and we come back to the board on whether we want to pre-fund any of this or not, mm-hmm. then that entry could potentially go away, and then we'd...
So is $486,000 the pay-as-you-go expected projected amount for 2017? Or does that include some portion of paying
down? That includes the bookkeeping entry. It's much lower than that.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's
much closer to the 163 right. as the pay-as-you-go.
So we just sort of, we made a ballpark estimate pending our OPEB study.
That wasn't even including that. It's an entry. We do a calculation every year, and it gets booked against our liability. And this was the anticipated calculation of that amount for next year. We didn't include any sort of placeholder for any anticipated pre-funding costs that may come out of the valuation of...
Okay, so it's potentially much higher.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm curious, and you don't have to answer this now, but I would like to know under operation expenditures, training and education, board and staff, I'd like to know how much of this is board expense versus staff. So maybe in the future we could actually get that information.
Absolutely.
And then I noticed that outside legal counsel services proposed 2017 is $340,000 higher than 2016. Is there any particular reason that can be disclosed in open session as to why that is?
Sure. It's similar reason to the OPEB. The item was not included in the earlier budgets, and possibly because of the nature of it, that it was non-administrative in nature and there was a practice of not including it, but now that it's known and it's an expenditure of the organization, the accounting that's occurring here is to include it in the budget because that's what the estimates are. So as Gail pointed out, when we were comparing budget to budget, it wasn't in last year's budget, but it revealed itself when we did the actual to the budget comparisons. And so the 2017 number is more reflective of where it's going to land. What we were trying to do is avoid line items with zero budget and expenditure against it, because that's not painting a correct picture, and we are including that in the budget.
Henry, can you comment on the actual where we're at for 16 versus the 473 that we're budgeting for next year?
It's in the 310,000 range, so we're under. There's a combination of items that's in the 473. There's also legal that we're doing for disabilities. There's a figure of about 100,000 that we have in there. So, but in terms of the actuals this year, for the legal that's not there, it's about 310 so far. So we're going to fall under. But we're trying to apply the best, and we did a small markup. We're consultation closely with Karen, and we estimate about 350,000 for next year inside that 473. Yes.
So what you're saying is that, the 20% increase is not necessarily actually 20%. It's including items that should have been noted in last year's budget. And we're just making them known now, so it's not necessarily an increase in expenditure. They already exist. We're just acknowledging it in the budget.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It's important to note that these items have always been there. It was just a mechanism to put them in a budget, and this is where we're doing it.
Okay.
It may be helpful to point out on page 16 of the 2017 proposed non-administrative budget that with regard to the outside legal counsel services, there is a footnote there, and it explains what you just explained, that the 2016 budget included investment outside legal fees only and not other outside legal fees, which the 2017 budget number does include.
Correct. Correct. So the 350,000 figure that we were mentioning a while ago about legal, that's our 2017 estimate. Right now that number is 310, as Gail was asking earlier, in terms of actuals. But it revealed itself when we were having the budget actual discussion, and that's where we saw these items, and the board was very alert, and that's where these discussions occurred. And so at that point, discussion was made about correcting and putting those variances to the budget, and that's what we're doing here.
Okay.
So when we meet again and we have another, our next budget to actual, we'll see where these are lying.
Okay, I only had one other item, and this is really not a lot of dollars, but just wondering why our property and liability insurance went up 2.5 times on page 9.
There were some additional purchases of insurance. There were some purchases for cybersecurity is always for protection of our assets. Mm-hmm. Some of it is also going up. There's some, I believe there was some fiduciary liability, some additional liability for legal, and but cyber was one of the big ones that come to mind, and it was all for the protections, part of our safeguarding of our assets.
Okay, and then on the investment positions, are we going to take that up separately, or you want me to keep going?
Keep going.
Okay, so the investment positions, I know this was a concern.
Page number again?
This is page 4. These are the recommendations. Approved 2 new proposed investment officer positions, and I think, you know, this is not a surprise to us. It's been mentioned to us before. I guess, and this may be a question for Tim is here. I think at a minimum in us adopting this budget, we should have some conversation of how those two investment positions will benefit the organization. For example, we wouldn't want to just run out and add two very relatively highly paid investment positions to our organization without seeing what that benefit is to us. Are we going to achieve reduced investment fees? Are we going to achieve higher investment returns because of these two in-house positions managing a portion of the portfolio. So I would like us to, at least in this open session, have some statement of what the benefit is of adding those two positions.
That's a great question. And at the last board meeting, we did have a discussion and a memo concerning these positions, because they are, it is big outlays of cash. And we wanted to make sure that as we hire folks, that we're doing it in a smart way, and we're not just, you know, throwing people and, oh, once they get here, we'll figure out what we're doing with them. That's not the way that we've ever approached hiring since I've been here. So, and I'm going to have just Tim elaborate a little bit more on.
Yeah, and I know we got all the details of it. I'm just saying, in terms of this session of approving this budget with a large line item on it, it's useful for us to have at least some quick synopsis.
The quick synopsis would be we've got three functional sub-portfolios. Each one's going to need a different type of oversight. The goals here would be both to lower fee structures and to enhance returns. And get a much closer operational look and a risk oversight of the portfolio. But the three IO positions, one would be intended to just for the private markets. We're in the process of selecting a private markets advisor. We anticipate lowering our fees by partnering more directly with the general partners. That will lower the overall fee load. We're not paying fund-to-funds fees. However, I need a person to handle that full-time. So that's one position. Next position would be public growth assets and the risk diversifying assets. So this is going to be our kind of our risk guru internally, provide some guidance on the relative shifts in asset allocation from year to year, where we should be positioned, how we can be finding risk diversifying assets that are intended to offset the growth, and basically truncate our downside experience there. And then over time, maybe we need to put somebody on the liquidity portfolio just for primary oversight of that, plus as a backup to me. So this covers contracting, limited partnerships, risk oversight, and succession planning. Those are the three main goals we're trying to accomplish with these positions.
And I would add on to that, that the current investment analyst positions that we have would, what they're doing today isn't necessarily what they're going to be doing tomorrow, since we're going to have these investment officer positions, hopefully. Those positions would, I see it as those folks reducing the operational risk for the association, because they're going to be able to do some of the additional activities that we're not currently doing that are more best practice and we should be doing. And some of those are a little harder to quantify, but I think overall it's a better situation for our plan. So, just to add on to Tim's.
Let's see, Tim covered this pretty good the last meeting, too. And I felt confident after that.
Okay. Other trustee questions about the budget presentation so far? I don't want to cut you off, Henry. But
not at all.
Okay. If there's more, Henry, you'd like to add?
Well, we want to make sure we provide all the information. I know we're short on time, so I don't want to overkill. Budget is what I do, so we can speak more, but you know, I don't want to do too much. But we continued on, and we were speaking about operation expenditures when we spoke about salaries and benefits. But Ms. Allen, I have your comment about board and staff. We'll be back to you and break down this budget as to where we break it down. And we decided to roll it up so the format is a little bit different. You know, I took a good hard look at other pension organizations as to how their budget gets presented. And this is rolled up into like an industry trend. And so hopefully if we get good feedback and good buy on this, this is a good measure that we can continue to build on so we can evaluate ourselves and see how we're spending. But the operation breaks down into training, education, that's a big one. Professional services, what's inside professional services? You know, you have your auditor, and we also have money's allocated in there for the outsourcing of the internal audit. That's very important to us. And we're in the process of examining some RFPs right now, so our best guess is about a $200,000 addition to there. Brown Armstrong is also going to be doing some additional work for us for GASB 72, which you may have heard, which is measuring the risk of our investments. That's not like the 68 where the employers and only employer districts need to know. That's more on our GASB. We spoke about the legal, and that's basically a bookkeeping entry that we're putting it on the budget. But that's the professional services.
Hang on a second. Just a good segue. Harvey, you had a question or a comment?
Yes, sir.
There was a legal discussion here.
But an overall question.
Absolutely.
Are there any anticipated expenditures for the organization that are not captured in this year's 2017 budget?
None known.
Because we had it in the past, so we're not going to have that going forward.
None known. This was a scrub down. We tried to put everything. We spoke about OPEV. We spoke about the legal. And we spoke about anticipated hires. Those are the big items of any nature.
No other capital expenditures and that sort of thing that don't appear in this budget?
Absolutely. Our disaster recovery continuity program, it's a strong look with our IT manager, some look. You know, we tore apart. We're very aggressive in trying to make sure our data is protected. He works very closely with our San Diego affiliate, and there's some cost in here. Not a lot, but there's a best guess, and he works closely with a lot of project consultants how to keep us ready. And so those numbers are put inside this budget here. There is a split that occurs between administrative and non-administrative, and that just goes to show what goes towards the cap limit and what doesn't. Okay, so we just break it up over the two sides.
And Harvey, to your point on capital assets, I'll refer you to also page 19 where there's a proposed capital budget. There are some dollars in there for hardware and software. The depreciation over those items is what's included in the budget on the prior pages.
But right.
When does
right.
our lease expire?
Our lease expires in 2019.
Mm-hmm. So along those issues on capital assets.
I'm sorry,
assets.
2018.
So will there be, does this budget reflect money that will need to be spent in the coming year starting to identify what happens with our location here?
It's, it's September of 18.
And not for 17, right?
September, yeah. Yeah, end of September 2018. 18. So since it's in the latter part of the year, I hadn't included any dollars in this year's budget. We don't have any leasehold improvements going on for next year or anything like that. So,
yeah, we're
just so you're aware of that.
Happy
as well.
Tenants for at least
another year.
Yeah. For another year.
So I would anticipate in the 2018 budget we'll be taking a look at that.
Okay, but along the same lines, Harvey, the capitalization. If we have an expenditure on a capitalization, just a quick accounting lesson. If it's going to give us useful life of more than 5 years, 7 years, you get to write it off. So we spread it over those years, and that's what that depreciation concept is about. So we spoke about our groupings, office expenditures, that's your typical building rent, telephone, internet, furniture, equipment. You can see there was some gain there, and not everything is going up, but there's some gains.
Ken, I want to make sure we're on the same page, okay?
We are on page 9.
Page 9, thank you.
Yes.
I noticed that. Do we negotiate a better deal with the people who own the building now than we could with ourselves?
It may be the CAM. There may be a difference in the CAM that we're anticipating.
Oh, okay.
That's
sorry,
right.
Sorry.
That's right. But most of that is probably attributed to some printing and postage. I think we're probably a little overestimated maybe in our newsletter costs last year. We thought they were going to be much more expensive. Also our postage and our service of all our EFTs and our member statements. You know, we tap into the county and they always budget high and we come in low. So we firmed up our numbers.
I'm really happy to see us reduce our projected cost of paper and mail and things like that.
Very aggressive.
Good job.
Very aggressive, absolutely. We look even in our banking and our payment and EFTs. We spoke about our insurance. That's a category that's a very popular item amongst pension organizations, so we have an area for that. We opened up a section called Member and Benefit Services, and I have here the particular expenditures we have, Zacera, that are devoted exclusively to that area. And it's in the benefit statements and the EFT distribution, preparing the statements, the postage of sending remittance statements. Even folks who get their monies deposited in a checking account, they still get a remittance statement. So there's cost and effort of preparing all that. We have an attorney for disabilities. Tim Hoppe manages that area. We expect some decrease there. But below the line are hearings, our physician reviews and disabilities. We're seeing that go up. But this is a case of it wasn't in the last budget that is trending in the $72,000 range. Okay? Moving on down, we have what we call IT systems. I like this term because there's a lot of computer hardware, networking, things that go on. So I think a very good synopsis here is IT systems. And overall, we have a decrease in this area. And it simply has to do because we had some pretty high numbers in there in the last budget. We thought we were going to have much more need for CPAS consulting, high-priced consultants. We brought them in here for all different areas. Worked very closely with Sun Benefits and Member Services to figure out our needs, and we have some better numbers, and we're going to be coming in lower. So that's projected in the 2017.
Is that because we are finally getting our hands around the CPAS and the conversion will come to an end in the coming year, and we're on a system that...
I think part of it has to do with there were a number of hours left over in our old contract with them that I was able to negotiate with them and have them carry those over. So some of the projects that maybe we would have had some additional outlays of cash, we're able to utilize the hours from last year.
Okay, good.
So we've got them
take advantage
to
of those
that.
Prepaid hours when they are,
so
because they're use
it.
Them or lose them. So we're going to use them.
Deborah, do you need to go?
It's okay. I put off something already.
Okay. And if we need to go back, any other questions? I don't want to go too fast. Okay. Yes, sir.
I don't mean to be Columbo here, but actuary and investment consultants, where do those appear?
The category for that expense for actuary investments is a deduction from investment gains, so they're not in the administrative operating type expenditures. Mm. When you look on your CAFR, our CAFR, expenses for the actuary and expenses for the management fees come right off the top. They come off the earnings, investment earnings.
Investment consultant.
Yes. So, and that's generally accepted accounting principles. It gets audited that way, and those are the categories of expenditures that flow off the top. Operating expenditures are your administrative salaries and benefits, things of that nature. So those are considered expenditures of plan assets directly from the earnings.
The actuary costs are coming off of the investment line.
When we show our investment gains and losses, they are not, excuse me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. they are not net of actuary and the investment consultants fees.
That's correct. So in following up on the CAFR discussion, there's basically two lines of expenses, plan expenses that are in there. One is administrative expenses, which is the administrative budget piece in here. The other part is you'll see a line that says investment expenses, and rolled into that line is investment staff, legal costs, actuary, investment management fees, custodian, all of those costs are rolled into that line. And typically in the past, we haven't budgeted for custodial or actuarial or investment consulting expenditures in this budget.
Is that about all the time we have, David?
But the only reason why I raise it is for the board, that at some point you need to see what the expenditures are for these significant line items. That's all. And I don't know when you're going to get to see that if they're just netted out of the investment expenses. And where is that going to be reported before they're incurred?
Well, they make it to the CAFR.
You see line items in the CAFR identifying what has been spent, but it's not prospective.
That's after that.
Yeah. But that's something, if the board wishes, that's something we can begin to do.
Okay.
Deborah, did you have a follow-up question?
No, I'm just trying to digest what you just pointed out, which I think it is important for us to see. Maybe it's a different section of a different budget, but for us to see what we are projecting as our actuarial and consulting fee expenses for the coming year.
And that's something we can definitely project.
Was that included in the quarterly budget information that we got?
No, that's not. Historically, it's not anything that's ever come to the board in that fashion.
I mean, it's a board level decision. The rates are set in perpetuity. But yeah, there's, I mean, the one document that captures that is the cap.
Well, the actuarial fees are are not a percentage.
The investment consultant and the investment management fees.
They make it to the CAFR, so it's a we can have discussion with senior management as to how, what shape or form to put it together. It makes it to the CAFR and gets audited by Braun Armstrong, but we would need to huddle and digest how to put it as part of this reporting mechanism, maybe in the budget to actual as a side presentation or an amendment to it. We can certainly, I'm going to mark that down. We have a discussion on how to put that together. Okay, we left off at page 10, and this is the grand total of the total budget, which includes administrative and non-administrative. That's page 10. And the pages that follow is just the breakdown of each. What is the administrative and what is the non? Over on page 11, 12, 12 is just the administrative section. If we focus on salaries and benefits, 1.1, these are the non-administrative folks that are going to be anticipated part of the deputy CEO salaries in here. There are some accountant positions, there's some member and benefit services tech positions, there's an IT technician. So these are just the day-to-day operations staff that we plan to fill, and that's what those costs are. We have administrative training and education. Audit is the big one. That big $190,000 that you see there, that's basically the $200,000 or so that we're estimating for the outsourcing, the internal audit. Let's see. We have some gains. Our office expenditures, as we spoke of, we're reducing our costs. Insurance went up by $61,000. That was the cyber and the professional liability.
I just don't know how long we have.
So the administrative budget is a component of the large one. If we move on to page 14, the grand total of that is we're asking for $9.9 $10 million in 2017, which is about a $900,000 increase from the 2016 budget. So in relation to the chart, the blue chart, this individual budget was the blue of that pie chart, and that is going up by $900,000. If we keep moving on to the non-administrative, these are the investment positions we spoke about. This is the deputy counsel, and you see over on page 16, the non-administrative salaries and benefits, the bold numbers, 1 million. That's the staff for that, and that's the biggest component of what's going on in the non-administrative section. Yes, ma'am. Oh, absolutely. So we spoke about a non-administrative. Page 18 is an actual discussion of what the proposed staffing additions and what the purposes are. We may have touched about this, what Tim was explaining. This is the additions and the reason, and this is the three. Tim, help me here. Sub-portfolios, is that the term you call them?
Yeah.
Okay. Sub-portfolios, and that's how we want to structure them. You can see a sentence about what they cost us and what figures are in there. We have... page 19, a proposed capital budget. This is what we spoke about and what items are going to be depreciating, what we have. And that concludes the presentation, but I want to just reemphasize that way back on page 4, we spoke about it a couple of times. There are recommendations, and we are looking for to recommend to the board to adopt this 2017 proposed budget and approve the two new proposed investment officer positions.
I'll move to accept the 2017 proposed total budget and approve the two new proposed investment officer positions.
Instead of accepting, can you change it to adopt?
Adopt budget. I amend my motion to say adopt.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the budget including the two new staff additions. Any discussion?
Can we, sir, with the, like we discussed before, the it's not really a 20% increase because some of those items have been there. You're just
correct.
Do you have any sense of how much of an actual increase we're looking at?
Without doing a quick review, allow me some time. Let me get back to you on that. You know, I would imagine it's less than 20%, clearly.
Probably more like 15 or something.
I was in that approximate range. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor of adopting the budget, aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you, Henry.
Thank you very much for your time. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Henry. I know specifically what a great accomplishment this is, and I'm thankful to both of you, all of you, for the participation in this process and seeing us really move to improve this budgeting process and make it an all-inclusive to all of you. So thank you for your contribution. It's important to us.
Thanks again, Henry.